have sheets available on that. So during the prayer times from now on, if you hear me mention Vietnam, Yemen, or you know, these different countries, like, where's April getting that information? That's where I'm getting this from. So I'm pulling it offline. But these are available here at the church. If you're not here today and you want one, you can run by the office. Abby will have extras. I'll make sure of that. And so we need to remember to pray for the world. There's a lot going on. And I am thankful that the Lord is good. He rules and he reigns. His name is faithful and true. As we've gone in from 2022 to 2023, we can stand on him. We can stand on his word. We can stand on his promises. He's faithful. Father, we bless you. We thank you for a new year. Lord, you are good and your love endures forever. We welcome you here, Spirit of God. We pray you'd breathe on your word as it's read, as it's sung, as it's declared. Lord, may we encounter you. We thank you that you are the living one. You are the worthy one. You are the faithful one. And Lord, give us eyes to see, give us ears to hear. Spirit of God, come. In Jesus' name, amen. Prepare our hearts to worship with the prelude. Testament lesson. Our call to worship is Isaiah 60, 1 through 3, and Gordy's going to read that for us this morning.
Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn.
Amen. Angels from the realms.
Thank you.
was preparing for worship this morning, I had a real strong impression, Psalm 34, and I sat in my chair and just started crying because this feels like a word for somebody, Psalm 34. I love that whole psalm, but specifically verse 18, the Lord is near, close to the brokenhearted, and saves the crushed in spirit. That word for crushed is a word that can mean shattered, broken in tiny little pieces. And I think there's somebody here today that just needs to be reminded of that. The Lord is close. He's close to the brokenhearted. And he saves those who are crushed and shattered in spirit. He's so kind and he's so gentle. A bruised reed he will not break, Isaiah said. And if that's you, come up to me after the service. I'd love to pray for you. But just know that he's close and he's near. Father, we thank you that you are close to the brokenhearted. When we feel shattered in a thousand tiny little pieces, Lord, you are the one who knit us together in our mother's womb. And Lord, you're able to mend the brokenhearted. Not only mend, but restore and put back together. Lord, only you can heal our heart. You're the only God who can do that. Thank you, Jesus, for what we celebrate this Christmas season. That you left glory and became a tiny human baby so that you can be a high priest who sympathizes with our weaknesses. That you know what it's like. Every human emotion, you know what it's like to cry. Lord, you know. You know what it's like to be lonely. You know what it's like. And Lord, I thank you that you are with us. So those this morning that are feeling alone, that feel shattered, Lord, I just speak that promise over them. That you are close, you're near to the brokenhearted. I speak peace. Lord, a prayer request was shared with me before the service. There's been a tragic loss, and there's grieving, Lord, in this community. And we pray, God, comfort. And we pray peace for all who are grieving, for all who are mourning. Lord, we ask for you to come and minister in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for Pam Pereira and the good report that she's received from the doctor. Lord, we thank you that the treatments are working. She doesn't have to go back for 3 months. Lord, you have buoyed her up. Lord, you have held her and you brought her through. And Lord, I think of Bonnie. Lord, you've done the same with Bonnie. Lord, you're doing the same with Janet Kirk. And Lord, we just thank you that you're so good. You're so gracious. You are so kind. And Lord, those that are recovering, we ask for continued grace and strength upon them in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray for a little boy, Sawyer, who's had a high fever and seizures for a week. We just pray for Sawyer that whatever's going on in his brain, we just speak peace, that the fever would break in the name of Jesus Christ, that the seizures would stop, and we speak wholeness over Sawyer in Jesus' name. We pray for Doug, a friend of Pam Pereira's daughter, who is home with hospice, and Lord, I pray that they would sense your nearness, your peace, your comfort. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me, your rod and your staff. They comfort me. We pray that over Doug in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for Penny Hoskins, that she's doing better. Lord, we pray that her levels would continue to be normal in the name of Jesus Christ. And we just speak peace over Penny in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we remember the Travelsteads today. Mike Travelsteads coming to mind. We pray encouragement. Peace upon Mike in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you that you're good. We thank you that your love endures forever. We thank you, Lord. We're going to talk a little bit about this today, but you came to be the Savior of the world, the nations of the world. Father, we ask for mercy where Christians are being persecuted. Lord, that they would have courage, that they would have boldness to stand for you. Courage. courage than Jesus. We pray, Father, for the Ukrainians, Lord, just mercy and peace in Russia. God, we ask for your help in that conflict. We lift it before you. And Lord, we ask for your help and your mercy in Jesus' name. And Lord, we bow and we pray the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Remember, as we were praying the Lord's Prayer, Megan, Jonathan Walden's wife, had a baby. She had the baby on Tuesday. So, Lord, we just bless Megan and them. I don't know the name, but Lord, we just bless that baby. We just bless Jonathan and Esme and good night. I already forgot her name, Megan. Lord, we just bless them in Jesus' name. And Lord, we bless Bevan as well, that you would bless him. And Lord, we just lift these tithes, these gifts, and these offerings up to you. Lord, you are worthy. Pray you would bless the givers, and Lord, you'd bless the offering in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing the doxology. You may be seated. We're going to give O Little Town of Bethlehem a shot again. When we sent out the newsletter, in that I wrote that the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. That was in Silent Night. It's not a Silent Night. It's in O Little Town of Bethlehem. So got to set that straight. And on the New Year's Eve service we had on Christmas Eve, I wasn't paying attention. I don't know what was going on, but we got totally off on A Little Town of Bethlehem. So we're gonna do it. We're gonna do it again. And we're gonna do it. We're gonna get it. But A Little Town of Bethlehem, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Good night. We were practicing before, and I just completely blew it. Sorry. Gordy is going to lead us in our Old Testament lesson. I was so intent on A Little Town of Bethlehem. I'm only able to focus on one thing at a time, Gordy. It's New Year's Day, man. I'm still struggling. Micah 5:2-5.
But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are the one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from old, from ancient days. Therefore, he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has brought forth. Then the rest of his kindred shall return to the people of Israel, and he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall live secure. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be the one of peace.
Amen. Now, O little town of Bethlehem. Thank you. Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 2. It's a very familiar story. And it just really felt the Lord wanted us to visit this. And I was like, but Lord, this is really an Epiphany sermon. And Epiphany isn't until January 6th. And I thought, well, this would be a good one for next week. But he really wanted me to preach on this week. So I think what we're going to do is we're going to spend 2 weeks here because there's so much here. And as I was meditating and praying, I really feel like, and it, on the surface it doesn't seem like it is, but it's really a really good word for the new year. Matthew chapter 2. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." And listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. What is in this little story? It's only told in Matthew. Which is interesting. When that happens, we have to ask the question, why? Why would Matthew, or Mark, Luke, and John did not tell this story. Why would Matthew? What was unique to Matthew's audience that he wrote this letter to? Why would he include this story when the other gospel writers didn't? It's very interesting. And that's a clue to us what's going on. And as we go through this, what is in this story, this very familiar story? All of us know that, but what hope does it give us for this new year? We might be coming into 2023 a little trepidatious. The last 2 years have been wild. Like, 2023, I don't know. And last week I preached on Wonderful, Isaiah 9:6, and those titles in Isaiah, "For to us a son is given. The government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And yet for maybe some of us, those titles are a great thing for Christmas, good to say on Christmas Eve. But now as we've entered 2023, we kind of forget about that and like, well, you don't know my problems. You don't know what's going on in my life. You don't know what's going on in my family. We just kind of forget about those things. What hope does Matthew 2, 1 through 11 give to us? Let's look at that this morning. It is steeped in Old Testament. What was fulfilled? Matthew wrote his gospel to Jews, to people who knew the Old Testament, to people that, and when only Matthew, you've got all of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the begats, you know, we kind of read that and our eyes gloss over. Why in the world is all of that important? Matthew includes that. Why would he do that? He's tying Jesus to the Old Testament. He's not just some random figure. There are roots, deep, rich roots in the Old Testament. And so when the Magi come, it's fulfilling prophecies. What was it fulfilling? Gordy read it for us. I want to read it again. We're going to go backwards in the Bible. And so flip back to Isaiah. I want to read this again. Isaiah chapter 60, light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen over you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Isaiah prophesied at a time when it was very, very bleak. Judgment had come. Temple wiped out. Promises of God seemingly broken. God had promised David that there would always be a king on the throne in Jerusalem, and now it's gone. And it was very dark. And the promise comes, and Isaiah prophesies, arise out of the ashes, out of the darkness. Arise, shine. For your light has come out of your sorrow, out of the devastations. Light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Yes, there's darkness. Darkness shall cover the earth. Thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. When those magi from the east came, they saw his star. I'm going to talk more about this, the significance of this next week. But when they saw the star, they were able to ascertain that a king had been born. And so they go, and this promise is fulfilled. Nations shall come to your light, kings to the brightness of dawn. That is fulfilled when the wise men come. It's amazing. Begun when those wise men came, and it was going to be ultimately fulfilled when Jesus died and when he rose again. He's going to bring light. He's going to bring light in the darkness. He's going to bring hope in the midst of despair. He's going to bring joy in the midst of sorrow. In our devastations, Jesus wants to come in. As I shared, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He saves those who are crushed in spirit. He's a builder. He's a redeemer. That's who he is. When those wise men came, Isaiah 60 was fulfilled. And let's go back a little bit further. Flip back to Psalm 72. Psalm 72. This is a prophetic psalm about the coming of the Messiah. Psalm 72. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to the royal son. May he judge your people with righteousness and your people with justice. Let the mountains bear prosperity for the people and the hills in righteousness. Listen to this. May he defend the cause of the poor of the people, give deliverance to the children of the needy, and crush the oppressor. May they fear you while the sun endures, and as long as the moon throughout all generations. May he be like rain that falls on the mown grass, like showers that water the earth. In his days may the righteous flourish and peace abound till the moon be no more. May he have dominion from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. May desert tribes bow before him and his enemies lick the dust. May the kings of Tarshish and of the coastlands render him tribute. May the kings of Sheba and Seba bring gifts. May all kings fall down before him, all nations serve him. For he delivers the needy when he calls, and the poor and him who has no helper. He has pity on the weak and the needy, and he saves the lives of the needy. From the oppression and violence, he redeems their life, and precious is their blood in his sight. When those magi came, and they bowed down, and they offered those gifts to Jesus, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, Psalm 72 was fulfilled. Verse 10, may the kings of Tarshish and of the coastlands render him tribute. May the kings of Sheba and Seba bring gifts. fall down before him, all nations serve him. That happened when the Magi came. When they came, it fulfilled this promise. And if it fulfilled that promise, did you hear all of those things in that psalm, all the promises about the Messiah in that? Where he delivers the needy when he calls. How many of you are needy? You cry out to the Lord, I am. It's a promise. He delivers the needy when he calls. The poor and him who has no helper. He has pity on the weak and the needy and saves the lives of the needy. When the Magi came, Psalm 72 was fulfilled. And all of the rest of those promises are fulfilled as well. We just need to own them and take them in. What else happened when those Magi came? Look back at Numbers chapter 24. I preached on Balaam a few weeks ago, and this is the messianic promise. Balaam, who's this pagan prophet, he sees Jesus. Numbers chapter 24, Balak has hired him to curse the Israelites, and every time he tries to curse them, he blesses them. So funny. But Numbers 24:17, this is what he sees about Jesus. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. It shall crush the forehead of Moab and break down all the sons of Sheph. It shall crush the forehead of Moab. What is so ironic about that is Balak, who is the king that hired Balaam, he's the king of Moab. And Balaam is prophesying about this king that's going to come, and he's going to destroy. He's going to destroy the enemies. He's going to destroy them. And how many of us have enemies in our life? I don't think very few of us here actually have literal enemies who are seeking to destroy us. Maybe that's true for some. But all of us have an enemy of our soul that wants to discourage us, that wants us depressed, that wants us anxious, that wants us all just kind of locked up in a prison of fear. And when the Messiah came, he fulfilled this promise of Balaam, a king, a prince of peace, one who was going to rule, one who was going to come, and one who was going to give us peace and destroy all of our enemies. This promise was fulfilled when those Magi came and they bowed down. They had seen a star. They knew that a king had been born. And they came and they bowed down and they offered him the best that they had. What else was fulfilled? What else happened when these wise men came? Look back to Genesis chapter 22. Going back to the beginning. Genesis chapter 22. God had given a promise to Abraham that he was going to have a son in his old age. Struggled with that. Kind of gave up on God's promise. Said, well, I need to help him along. This is taking too long. Caused a bunch of unnecessary strife. But this promise was given to Abraham. Genesis 22:17. I will surely bless you, Abraham, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. Your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. God gave a promise to Abraham that all the nations of the earth would be blessed through him. And when Jesus was born, seed of Abraham, seed of David, that's ultimately fulfilled in Jesus. And when these far-off kings come and they offer, they're the first ones. The angels announced it to the shepherds, so the shepherds knew. Mary and Joseph knew. But then one of the first people to know who this really was are these far-off kings. God is saying, hey, this promise that was for Israel is bigger than just for Israel. It's for all the world. Beautiful. The promise given to Abraham was fulfilled when those magi came. I cannot believe it's been nearly 23 years ago since I went to Israel. If you've never gone, pray about that and make that a priority. I really, really, really encourage you to do that because it brings to life. It's not just some far off place. It brings to life. And I was reflecting on that this past week. And when you go, everybody's different. And what strikes somebody as powerful for you, it's just like I thought the Via Della Rosa, walking the way of Jesus, and what he had to walk on his way to the crucifixion, that would really move me. It really didn't. It really didn't. You go to the places where they think maybe Golgotha was, and it's very, of course, and this was a duh moment, it's very Catholic, because that was the first church. We were Catholic way before, we were born from the Catholic Church. So you've got all these shrines, and I just don't like stuff like that. I just don't like it. So I just felt really out of place, and what I thought would really move me really didn't. And everybody else is crying and having these spiritual moments, and I'm just like, But what did move me? One of the things that got me the most was when we went to the Wailing Wall. It's the last remnant of the temple, and it separated the men and the women. Women can't get in there. Women, that's for women only. So I went up, and when I put my hand on that wall, I was completely that. I just started weeping. I'm like, oh, that was unexpected. I'm like, Lord, what's going on? What's going on? And I was just so overwhelmed with gratitude. Lord, thank you for including me, a Gentile and a woman. You've included me in your promise. And I was so overwhelmed with gratitude with that. Because we were once far off. God's promise was for the Israelites. But in Jesus, the promise is given for all of us. And in Jesus, there is no Jew, there is no Gentile, there is no male, there is no female. He's grafted us in, and we are one in him. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. When John Wesley, he actually came to the United States. He came to Georgia. And he was kind of having a crisis of faith and really struggling at that time. I mean, he's a missionary, so you'd think he'd have it all together. And he didn't. He really didn't. And the Moravians were a sect of, they were about 100 years before the Lutherans were born. The Lutheran denomination, but they were Germans, and what came out of the Moravians were German Protestants, and the Moravians were there, and this Moravian asked John Wesley, he's like, do you know Jesus as your Savior? And John Wesley's like, yeah, he's the Savior of the world. And that Moravian looked at John Wesley point blank, just looked at him, he said, no, is he yes, he's the Savior of the world. His theology was right, but it hadn't really been personal to him. And when those magi came, they were seeking truth. And when we're really seeking truth, y'all, we're going to find it, because Jesus is the truth. And they came, and they bowed down, and they gave Jesus everything they had. What's the hope for us? Why am I preaching this on New Year's Day, 2023? Because God is faithful to his promises. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians that every promise is yes and amen in Christ Jesus. You can read your Bible Psalm 34, Psalm 23, every single promise in that Bible is yes and amen in Christ Jesus. But we have to appropriate it. We have to take it in and say, Lord, I want you to be my Lord, not just some far-off thing, but I want it to be personal. I want you to come in, and I want you to speak to me, and I want your word, your promises, and we have to take it in. We have to meditate on it and appropriate it, apply it to our lives when it's maybe it's just the opposite of everything that you see. This is really silly, and I wasn't going to share this, but I'm going to, because this whole thing with the Lord's close to the brokenhearted, that's a word for somebody, so I'm going to share this. On December 15th, I had to put my little cat down, Anastasia. And the Lord gave me that cat. I got that cat in February of 2009 in a shelter. I had an agenda of what I was going to get, because we'd put our dog down in 2008, and my other cat at the time, Yanni, which was my mother's cat, was grieving, and so okay, I'll get a companion for the cat, and knew what I wanted. I went into the shelter, was looking for what I wanted, and there was a little calico cat that when I walked in that shelter just started wailing when I walked in. Like, nope, you're not the right one. Walked through that entire shelter looking for what I wanted and came back, and when I walked into that room, that little cat started wailing again. I'm like, can I hold her? And so they took it out, and that little cat just melted in my arms. And I was like, oh, you're not what I wanted. Ugh. So I left the shelter, called my mom, and mom was getting really weak at that time. And she's like, April, that cat picked you out. You have to get that cat. So I called the shelter back, and they're like, you know what? The cat's spoken for, but if anything changes, we'll call you. And they called me 2 days later, and that cat was mine. And 6 months later, my mother died, and that cat has been like an emotional care animal for me for 14 years. And I won't get into everything, but because some of you might be thinking this is silly, but the Lord gave me that cat to help me go through the journey of losing my mom, of going through breast cancer and things not turning out the way I wanted with my body. And that little cat was there, and that cat gave me life. She made me laugh every single day. And she got sick really fast, and so I had to put her down on the 15th. And I've been sad. I've been really sad about that. And yet, what have I had to do this Christmas? I'm like, Lord, that she was a gift. She was a gift from you. And you were faithful then, and you're going to be faithful now. So I've been preaching to myself as I've been kind of sad this Christmas, and having to take the promises of God that he's close to the brokenhearted, he saves those who are crushed in spirit, he's with me, and just going through the promises of God and having to apply those in my life. And some of you have gone through way worse things than losing an animal. I don't want to make trite anything of what you're going through. But I share that story to say that sometimes we're going to be sad. Sometimes things aren't going to go the way that we want to. And we have to take the promises of God, because our mind and our feelings are screaming one thing. That the story of the Magi is God is faithful. He will fulfill his word. Every promise, every single one, is yes and amen in Christ Jesus. And so don't let your feelings, don't let your fears, don't let your mind dictate the truth. Sometimes we just got to stand. And my exhortation, why am I preaching this story today? I'm preaching this story today because it's an affirmation to us that God is faithful to his word. Every single promise in here is yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Whether you are excited about 2023 or you're like, oh no, what's going to happen? Brace yourself. He's faithful. He's faithful. He is good. And his love endures forever. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. single promise when those magi came was fulfilled. And you better believe that every single promise that God has given us, he's going to finish it. He that has begun a good work in us is going to see it through to completion. So let's remember that. Let's stand on that no matter what happens. His name is Emmanuel. His name is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. It's more than just a Christmas thing. Those are titles. Those are truths of Jesus that we need to stand on in this hour. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you that you are good. We thank you that your love endures forever. Thank you, Jesus, that you are Emmanuel, that you are with us. Lord, we love you. You are so good. You are so gracious. And you are so kind. And Lord, we're going to sing it, but Lord, we pray it, that you would really prepare us to be a sanctuary. Lord, we are living in dark days. But Lord, we thank you for the promise in Isaiah 60. There are so many layers to that. It was fulfilled when you were born. It was fulfilled when the Magi came. And Lord, it's still being fulfilled today because there's thick darkness over the peoples. But Lord, we thank you for the promise for your glory, that your glory is going to arise. And Lord, you have called us to be lights. You're the light of the world, and you've called us to be light. And Lord, I pray that we would bring comfort, that we would bring peace, that we would be a loving touch to everything, that everyone that we would meet and we would encounter. We love you. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you for all of your promises that are yes and amen. Help us to appropriate that in our lives. Lord, where we might be like John Wesley. Well, yeah, Jesus is the Savior of the world. But we've never really followed you, never really surrendered to you. I pray that today we would appropriate that and we would let you in Jesus' name. Please stand and let's sing Sanctuary. Lord, you're faithful and you are good. And Father, fill us with your Spirit. May your light, may your love, may your joy, Lord, be upon us. May we overflow with hope. And Lord, we are, no matter what happens in 2023, you are the faithful.